diameter and circumference of the circle, 3.14, that Greek letter pi, people have set it aside for that constant. So I do it by calculating rho and then converting rho into this wa by 1 plus rho over 1 minus rho. So each has its advantages and its ways of remembering it. And Mel's method is definitely easier if your calculator does not directly handle complex numbers. In other words, numbers that have a real and an imaginary, a reactive and a real. As long as your calculator can hold complex numbers, then I think my way is easier. I will admit that a lot of handheld calculators don't handle complex numbers. Therefore, for those people with those calculators, his method is better. There's a little bit more mathematics to his method, but you can use it on every single calculator. As you can see, there's usually an infinite number of ways of solving every problem. It may not look that way at first. And in theory, a real good engineer chooses the way that is most practical and accurate enough. Well, when it comes to Steve Squires, nothing was accurate enough because he was going into the most wicked environment in the world, 300 million miles away. He's going to this planet that's really got some terrible conditions. So to him, no matter how good he make it, it might not have been good enough. There's only a million ways that spirit and opportunity could have ordinarily died. But in the real world down here on Earth, there's a lot of ways to solve the problem. As a good engineer, you're supposed to know more than one way and choose the way that's good enough to keep your boss happy, accurate enough that the company can go into manufacture with that technique. Okay, say again?
Good.
I'll have to call him back.
All right.
So, back to you, Mel, HURIW.
WB to HWW. You want to do it both ways, a way to proof it out.
Yeah, well, you can do it both ways, Howie, definitely.
Mel, I'm going to be on the phone for a couple minutes. Please.
With just a piece of paper and a very simple pocket calculator. In fact, or you can do it the way we learned it. We didn't have no pocket calculators. You did it longhand. Dick alluded to there. I don't think there are too many people you could take today, young people, and said, I would like you to do a square root of a number and do it the long way. But this was commonplace one time. You did square root the long way. And of course, today, Dick says, push the button. Of course, I have this all in my calculator, you know, all formulas, everything built in. But here is a method that either can be done very simply with a very simple calculator, or even possibly if you have a piece of paper handy, you want to just do a lot of scribbling, and you can almost, of course, easily duplicate this thing, this way doing it with just longhand, I guess. I don't think it's too impossible, Dick, over.
Dick said he'll be on the phone for a minute.
Okay, yeah, you got to get the phone. Anyway, just to continue education, and I get a number of emails, and a number of them asked if, you know, to continue doing all these different applications. It's very slow so that they can duplicate it by just substituting other numbers in and using these methods that I've been doing with the Smith charts and showing the mathematics. Seems like a lot of people get confused with the math because a lot of the articles written, they jump, you know, they take for granted that you know the next step. And a lot of people don't know the next step, or maybe they forgot their basic, you know, algebra and all, and or geometry trig or whatever, and, you know, in high school. So I guess it's a little bit of a refresher course also, Howie, over.
Yeah, I think what people should do is pick up a small book, a primer book, and actually learn all the stuff like cotangent, tangent, sines, and cosines. You know, people should know that, you know, sine, you know, if you take the sine and the cosine and lay it up to one, you know, you should do all of the basic, you know, rules and quadratic equations and in complex numbers. It is complicated if you're not used to it.
Well, Howie, you got to remember, these people are just amateur radio operators. I don't blame them. Where most of the people, this is just a hobby. It is not their, some cases, yes, I know I'm doing some homework assignments at times, answering some homework assignments. I know people are studying for associate's degree, they said, in electrical technology. And I'm helping them with, iron out a problem that they can't quite understand. But there's very few TAMs that will, you know, just will be interested in this as a passing, you know, portion of amateur radio technology that, you know, applies to antennas that are going to get into, you know, doing a detailed study of math or whatever, or engineering level that we work with all the time because it's not their vocation. So, something like this, if they are making simple measurements and they want to just know what the SWR is, you know, I'm just sort of, like you say, cutting a lot of corners for them, giving them a simple method of doing the calculations, and this way, you know, keep their interest, keen interest. This is also an email. A lot of people say, why is there just isn't, like, for instance, these courses that I've been giving in use of the Smith chart, why aren't they a book like this that will go step by step from one to another, all different applications. I try to pick up on so many different applications and explain them step by step. And why is there no such thing? They have never found anything. They've looked and all, but there is. You know, you'll see applications of Smith charts and all, but, you know, one here in an article, another article somewhere else, but a lot of them don't explain the nitty-gritty how they get from one point to another, why they're doing it this way. There's the problem. Why? Why are you plotting this way? What is the reasoning for it? And all, just for them, just look at the line. So I hope that this helps somewhat. K2OPW and the SNPK.
And your microphone is dropping the mic. Okay. I agree that you're doing a great job. I just think that just math has a lot more than just radio math. Can help you in a lot of other areas, physics, general geometry. Yeah, the problem is the kids in the schools today are not learning the basic maths. This was high school math back when we were going, you know, our first semester in college. You had to know all your geometry, you know, coefficients, friction. Remember good old physics, you know, with the angle of a ball. You got to figure out the angle at where would a ball roll down the view. You probably know what I'm talking about there. Over to you.
Try to hold the mic button. He has pain in the neck, this thing. Yeah, you're right, Howie. But like I say, I'm just giving refresher courses here on people that just have an interest in amateur radio and would like to learn a little bit more about what's going on with their antenna. Remember, this is all applied to amateur radio strictly. I'm not trying to teach math. I'm not trying to get people to, you know, go into, you know, encourage them to go into any kind of advanced engineering and all. I just want them to understand what is going on, like Dick has been saying, what is going on with their antenna. How do we get the resistance, the reactance, and how do you plot it? What are these plots look like? How would you make your own plot? That's all I'm trying to do. And I got a number of these. I meant to bring this up, you know, about rectangular and polar type of notations and polar form polar notation and what do they mean by scalar, what do they mean by magnitude, you know, what do they mean by phase angle and all. So by doing this, I more or less be able to explain what we mean by absolute magnitude and phase angle. This was the whole idea of demonstrating how we apply a rectangular measurement and also convert it at the same time to visualize it in polar. I hope that's basically what I tried to attempt tonight. Over.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. One other thing, you could make a comment that in your example, the antenna is plus, so it's inductive and it's too long. You got to make it shorter or whatever frequency. They got these, you know, antenna analyzers that will tell you, you know, the, you know, if you have inductors or capacitors. And one good comment to make is that if you have an antenna analyzer and it's giving you a reactive component, that if it's plus, you know the antenna is too long, and if it's minus, it's too short. That means if you've got a minus sign, you got capacitance, and you need to put some inductance in. If it's inductive, you need to add a little bit of capacitance to get it, to get rid of the reactive component.
Okay, now you just brought up a good point about these antenna analyzers. One of the disclaimers of the antenna analyzer, in fact, AEA sent through a disclaimer to everybody that bought their antenna analyzer, that is, if it's within 10 degrees of whether it's going to be inductive or capacitive, it may not give the right reading. So you have to interpolate, you understand? So everybody asked, what do they mean by 10 degrees? Where did this come from? So now I explain by ear to polar. This is where we go from rectangular to polar. Where does 10 degrees comes from? So you can visualize, basically, that's a good point you brought up. Thanks for reminding me. But that's with all these handheld antenna analyzers, there are occasions where they're not sure. You can be confused. It could give you the wrong reactive answer, Howie, over.
Well, I had that with someone. I was showing, someone asked me how to use one. Well, then you have to, you know, take a couple of frequency readings at different frequencies and just see which way it's going. If you're going up in frequency, now I don't want to act like a fool here. Now, if you go up in frequency and the number starts to drop, getting close to zero, that means you are capacitive. If you go up in frequency and it goes one way, you know, you can do it. You can take a couple of frequency readings and see which way the X is moving, and that'll give you an idea if you're going from capacitance to reactance. It'll give you an idea. People got to realize these things are not that accurate. You know, that number is fine. You know what? They're not giving it to you. They're not giving it to you at an angle. They're giving it to you, let's say, they give it to you. They'll give you like 40 plus 10 J, or 40 plus, or 40 minus 20, or whatever. What they're really trying to tell you, that's good. You know, one way it's good to have it in rectangular, because they'll tell you, okay, I got to add the other component if I'm putting in tuned circuits. But you also, you can draw computerized, so they can make it easy where you can just flick a switch or press a button, and it can give you a magnitude and an angle, and that way you can understand where you are. Go ahead.
Yeah, but people don't understand what that meant. That's the point. They didn't understand when you go. They understood, like I say, to an extent when it was in rectangular form, and you push the button, you see SWR, like you say, and all these different things are easily by pushing the button. But now, if you understand when it's in polar form and you're approaching at 10 degrees, that beware. That is the point where they are specifying that the possibility of error really comes into its own. So now, you know, where do you come? How do you get from one to the other? This is the whole point I was trying to bring out. How do you understand, you know, the relationship? I guess that was the right word. The relationship between rectangular form and polar form. All right. Well, anyway, I hope I'll get the emails. I'll give you the feedback on them. K2RIW, back to K2KEY with the tech net. I have a feeling Dick has got some problem.
Yeah, I think he has some business issues. Yeah, you know, you got to look, you know, the way you can explain it is just look at a triangle, at the hypotenuse and the run, you know. You got the run, you know, 3-4 triangle. Slope. The slope is basically the square, you know, R squared plus X squared. Take the square of that, take the square root of that, that gives you the magnitude, and then you take the ratios, and that gives you the angle. Yeah, Mal, I remember getting, I remember getting this beat into my head when I was going to college. I used to see this stuff coming out of my head. Go ahead.
Comment on any of the above jazz, as Dick would call jazz, and that's basically other jazz. Yeah, well, it's basically to visualize vectors, and we've hit upon vectors a number of times, and a number of people, as they, you know, they can't visualize it, so again, made a little visual here by just making a little simple diagram so you can visualize what we're talking about, angles and vectors and things of that sort. So anybody want to make a comment, any of the above, this is K2KEY, this is the TechNet.
WS2N.
Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Now, when you said that they could be off by 10 degrees, are you saying that when the answer falls, let's say between 0 and 10 degrees, that might be a problem? Or are you saying 10 degrees, for instance, you gave an answer before for the year, for that first problem was 36.8. 7 degrees. So what is it, 10 degrees, in other words, 5 degrees above 36 and 5 degrees below? In other words, it might show up as 40, or it might show up as, say, 31.87, or is it even a wider swing than that? You know, instead of 36.87, could it be 46.87, you know? What do you mean by the 10 degrees? Now, back to you.
What they tell you, in other words, if the answer, in this case, no, 36.87 would be okay. If the answer came down to within 10 degrees of the measurement, in other words, it's a point where the piece of equipment would not be able to, at point, discern whether you are minus J or plus J at that point, within 10 degrees of the reading, if it's within 10 degrees. In other words, if our answer here, our angle was 10 degrees, it could be questionable. Anything below that point, it was like within 5, 6, 7 degrees of the measurement, it would possibly be an error that it may be jumping from plus J to minus J. That's where the problem is. They said it that when it gets down towards that measurement, the exact measurement at the angle that are less than 10 degrees, that's where the errors come in on these handheld analyzers, according to the disclaimers that they sent through Paul over.
I think the magnitude be correct, but you're right, it can't tell the angle. It probably can't tell if it's inductance or capacitance. Now.
Okay, we're in the net mode now. Yeah, it won't tell for sure. And they said that you have to do some experimentation to determine, like you say, change frequencies and creep up on it. In other words, at that point, you're not sure. Go, you know, off that frequency, up or down, and so that your angle will be greater than 10 degrees to confirm, you know, whether you are plus J or minus J. Hold over.
Okay, now, yeah, because I can see being still 50 ohms, but being down in the, you know, 0 to 10 degree area. Okay, that answers my question. Between 0 and 10, you're on your own. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so if you came up with a number as high as where you were in the 36 area, yeah, you would be okay. Copy that now. Thank you. Back to you. WS-20.
Roger. Yeah, like I say, I was I bought the AEA. Now AEA now came out with you know, they got this graphic handheld analyzer, which is very nice. It tells you a whole bunch of stuff down the bottom, and of course you can set also the width of what you want to look at. You know, or you can look at the whole entire band and set it the center frequency, and then open it up to look at the entire, and it gives you a nice trace, you know, going across, and shows you everything. But they tell you that if you want to have more accuracy, you've got to buy an instrument about five times the price that they'll sell you. So this thing that they sell is around $600. And I bought the AEA HF analyzer, and I bought the VHF, UHF analyzer, and I bought the, they had a package deal at the TDR. And you get the disclaimers that don't look at it as the gospel. And especially, I can say, within 10 degrees of zero. So, anyway, I guess we're not going to call it, you know, a vector, network vector analyzer, you know, by any long way. But for amateur radio, listen, well, again, this is amateur radio, and for amateur radio, we understand what it does, and for what we do, putting up antennas and things like that, I'm sure it's more than adequate that any of these antenna analyzers. Believe me, they work quite well for putting up your dipoles and your other things, experimenting with your verticals. These handheld analyzers, I think, are terrific. It's very nobly priced. So, let's see if Dick is back. K2RIW in the TechNet, K2KEY. Oh, I guess not. Okay, anybody else have anything to want to add to this subject or behalf of Dick, K2RIW, and myself, K2KEY? We'll say to everybody, have a great weekend. I had a